Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we're going to be having another live conversation with the Living Compassion Team in Africa. We'll be talking about conscious compassion and awareness, and we'll be taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. And welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. You know, I realize I say that a lot because that's the primary communication that I have with the children here.
Oh, yes.
Hello. How are you? I am fine. How are you? I am fine. I have that conversation sometimes hundreds of times a day.
Wow.
And, you know, it's amazing how much that simple exchange can actually convey.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I've been
so that
reading.
Was a sincere question. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
did I wake you up again this week?
I'm afraid this, not you personally, but it was... one of the retreatants pounding on my door, but yes.
Yes.
In fact, one of the people just kind of staggered into the little office here saying, wow, I feel like this. I was just having the first really sound sleep I've had this trip. So,
wow.
You know, last week, somebody came through and knocked on the doors, and everybody leaped out of bed, and this time it was, pound, 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 pound,
uh-huh.
And then and people kind of just got here in time for the phone to ring.
Yeah.
So we're doing good.
Well, that's great.
And you know that's the explanation for that, of course, is that we're just working outrageously hard. If people have been following the blog, you know we're trying to communicate without whining, without coming across as whining martyrs. We're attempting to communicate that these are some of the longest, biggest, fullest days we've ever had. In fact, I kid regularly that I have to come home to my regular schedule to rest up. You know, if I just worked from kind of like 8 o'clock in the morning until, you know, 6 or 7 o'clock at night, that would be restful.
That'd be an easy day.
What's going on here?
Wow. Yeah,
they're very, very, very big days. And yesterday we had all just come back together on one of our regular, you know, these two go off for this and these two go off for that and those two go off for that to take care of things. And I said, my gosh, you know, it's taking all of us to do this. Literally, it's taking every person here going like that from first thing in the morning, really until, what time did we finish up last night? 10:30? Last night, it takes all of us keeping that kind of schedule every day to be able to get done what we're getting done here. So it's very fun, and we're working hard.
I can tell.
Yeah.
So, I see the evidence,
you know,
on the web every
at night
day.
Comes, and there, we, you know, we're getting ready to get in bed for our 2.5 hour sleep or whatever it is. But it's willingness.
Yeah.
We are living proof of or willingness in action or something like that.
Yes. I see all the evidence on the blog every day.
Yeah. Good. I you know, we try not to just write the same old, and then we did this, and then we, you know, it's kind of like a junior high diary, you know, and then I called my friend, and then I ate my lunch. To communicate sort of what the days are like,
and give
people a sense of. Then we were just talking, too, about, as you know, tomorrow is our last full day here.
Uh-huh.
And we were talking about how much has changed since we've been here. And last night was such a great example. We had two of the people that we have met here came by to do business, you know, to drop off things and check in with us. And then Teresa, the coordinator, was here. She had dinner with us. And then Ignatius and Grace and the baby and all the children and Mrs. Capenda, the mother, were all here. And it just it feels like we have this huge family here and huge network of friends and colleagues. So that was, to me, such an obvious result of the work that we're doing, you know, of the connections we're making and that sort of thing. So it's very good, Michael.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got that sense from reading the first week or so of blogs of a lot of new connections and stronger relationships and getting involved with the community. It's really great.
Yes. It is. It's, you know, you move to a new town and you start finding your way around and you start meeting the people who help you do the things that need to happen, you know. So we meet the computer person and, in our case, the silk screening person and the sewing people and the people at the school and the community leaders and then where we're staying. And it's just all becomes very much like the relationships that any of us have where we live at home.
Yeah.
You know, we know the people at the grocery store and we know the merchants downtown, and it's fun. And of course we have to, you know, if I know way more people here than I would know after 3 weeks in a new town in the U.S. because we're here trying to accomplish so much and really accomplishing so much. So if I moved to a new town in the U.S., I probably actually wouldn't know the mayor by now. But here we do, because it's essential to meet the mayor, and it's essential to have our legal person and know what all of the city and county and provincial offices are and who the officers are. And, you know, it's really a crash course in civics and also in community outreach and development and that sort of thing. So
yes,
it's good.
Yes, you make a great example.
You know, it keeps us from lying around reading novels, which is watching television.
Uh-huh.
We haven't had a lot of time for those activities, so that's very, very good for people doing spiritual practice.
Yes, yes. So what are we going to talk about this week?
Well, Michael, one of the things that we had looked at, of course, is fundraising.
Yes.
Because the other thing that we do while we're here is spend a great deal of money,
yes.
which is necessary.
Yes.
And I'm going to let some other people speak to some of the actual details of that, because, you know, we have people doing various projects that are part of our fundraising and, of course, taking pictures that are going to be involved in fundraising and things like that. So if it's okay with you, I'm going to start passing the phone off to folks who are going to speak to some of the aspects of September 23rd in particular and just creating the financing that's necessary for us to continue doing the work here, and the importance of the work here, and the importance of being here in person to do the work, and all like that.
Sounds great to me.
All right. So I think Jen is our first person.
Okay, great.
Hey, Michael.
Hi, Jen. Great to hear
your
voice.
Nice to talk to you.
Yes.
You know, it's actually my fault that we're on the radio tonight again. And people were happy about it at first. Now they're grumbling at me, but they'll be happy again, I'm sure. Because after we had so much fun being on the radio show last week, and afterwards that morning after we woke up, we were all talking about it, and I just had this kind of flash go through. I thought, oh, you know what? if there were just 100 people listening on the radio show, and each of those 100 people got 10 friends to contribute $100 towards the projects in Africa,
yes,
that would be our $100,000 that we're trying to raise for the bridge walk.
Yes.
And yes, I just realized that, you know, when we first come to Africa each year, there's kind of a sense of, oh my gosh, there's so much. There's so much that needs to be done. There's so many people that need to be helped. And then as we get more into our time each visit, as Sherry describes, it becomes less overwhelming in a sense, in that, you know, it's individual people. You know, we're spending time with this person and with that person, and instead of becoming one kind of overwhelming big situation, it becomes just one person that needs help and then another person that needs help, and then there's an obvious next step. And, you know, a few of us spent much of yesterday afternoon doing a focus group with a group of people in Cantalomba, where
yes,
we just sat down and went through all kinds of questions, like, what is the water situation in the community? And what would be a solution to that? And how might we address issues of education in the community? And, again, there was so much. There's so much that the community needs. And yet, there are solutions. There are ways to help. There are things we can do. There are concrete next steps. And
yeah,
I realized that it's that same thing with raising the funds that are needed to take those next steps, that it's just a matter of, you know, everyone contributing, of people just giving their part, of doing their piece. And
yeah,
so we just felt inspired to get up in the middle of the night again and talk about that.
That's great. And how respectful to ask the community how they would like to be supported and assisted.
Yeah, yeah. And it, as we had that conversation, it's just so obvious that that's the only way to do it. I mean, many of the things that people said were obvious. We knew that the water that they're drinking is contaminated. They know the water they're drinking is contaminated. And yet there are issues that we never would have thought of had we not sat down and had that conversation.
Uh-huh.
One of the long-term projects we're looking at is creating affordable, safe, good housing for people in Cantalomba.
Yeah.
And so we started to ask some questions around that, because so far we hadn't heard anyone mention anything about their housing situation. And so one of us asked, well, you know, what are the issues with housing, with your houses here in Cantalumba? And they said, this one woman raised her hand and said, well, we need concrete on the mud of the walls of our mud houses. She said, every rainy season, I have to build a new house because my house collapses.
Wow.
So the roofs leak, the water comes in, they're mud walls, the house collapses eventually.
Right.
So, you know, we've never been here in the rainy season. That's not something we would have ever thought of.
Oh,
so, so yeah, sitting down and having that conversation with people in the community and asking what are the concerns, what are the solutions, as you say, it's respectful and just plain good sense.
Yes, yes. And I was thinking about what you said earlier about the sense at first of that need being overwhelming. And
yeah,
yet, you know, there's only this person here to help and then this next person to help. And then this
exactly
person help. And it reminds me of practice, you know? When conditioned
yeah
mind takes me out into the future, it's overwhelming.
Exactly.
But if I can pay attention to this moment, it's manageable.
Exactly. Yeah. When you said that, I went right there too.
Yep.
It is like practice. And it was, and that's why the fundraising realization was so fun too, because it's that same thing for me, at least. You know, we've set this goal of raising $100,000 for the bridge walk, which in some senses in the U.S. is not a huge number.
Uh-huh.
And yet, you know, for us folks who we're not wealthy people, it can be a big number, and it can seem like, oh, that's never going to happen. We can't do that.
Right.
And then to look at, well, sure, there's this, you know, there's this $10, there's this person's $5, there's, you know, this person can give $100, and it's just this. Then there's this, then there's this, then there's this.
Yes.
And it isn't overwhelming. It's just what's in front of me now.
Yes. Yes. That's exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. So, and also a big plug for not just the financial piece of it, but the participation piece of it.
Yes.
You know, Sherry alluded to how one of the things we've really realized, you know, we knew it, but we saw it again, is that being here and participating and meeting people is really the only way that the projects expand and deepen, that we deepen our connections with our colleagues here. And same thing, coming to the Bridgewalk. You know, if you can't come, if you're far away, great, send your financial support. But to show up and be there is a whole other level of participation.
Yes. Yes. Yes, for me it takes me to a place of sort of being integrally involved.
Right. Yep.
It becomes exactly a part of who I am. Yeah, it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, Michael. Well, I'm going to pass you back to Sherry, and hoping that, have my fingers crossed, that there are a few people who have done some pretty fun fundraisers for the work in Africa, and we told them that we were going to do this show around this theme today. So we might be hearing from them on the phone so they can share their ideas with us.
That would be great.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Jen.
So.
Hi.
Hey, so that's all pretty inspiring, huh?
Yes, yes, wonderful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Sherry reminds me of Mother Teresa talking about assisting people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the exact quote, but something about, you know, there's this one child to help, and then there's this child to help.
Yeah, if I think it's something like, if I hadn't picked up that first person, I wouldn't have picked up 42,000 or whatever insane number of people that she had helped. And I think we've mentioned this, that Cantalamba is 4 kilometers square, and that there are about 10,800 people in there.
I see.
And you know, again, that's that can seem like a lot, or it can seem like this just one really kind of manageable little square of earth, filled with some really extraordinary people that we have an opportunity to. Well, of course, as we know, because we look at this regularly, we literally have the opportunity to save their lives. We had in the group yesterday that Jen mentioned an extraordinary young man who 17 years old, and we were asking, you know, what is the biggest difference that can happen in this community? And he said, we have to have education. We have to have education so that we can begin to make a living for ourselves. And he said the biggest change that must happen in this community is to stop early marriage. And what we found out in the course of that conversation is that, first of almost no one is going to school, but certainly not anyone over the age of 15.
Uh-huh.
And that's because children are married at 16.
I see.
We have to stop this early marriage. He said what's happening to young people is that they marry, and then they begin to have children, and those children are starving as the rest of us are starving.
Uh-huh.
And it was such a powerful, poignant moment. And it's literal, it's actual. We have the wherewithal to save these people's lives and to help them turn those lives into something really productive that they can take great pride and pleasure in. It's not, as Jen kept saying, you know, it starts out feeling overwhelming and sort of daunting, and then person by person, when you meet them and talk with them, you begin to see how really doable, how manageable this whole thing is. And in the same way that it's taking all of us here to accomplish what's on our list of goals to accomplish on this trip, it's going to take all of us listening to this radio show, all of those who are reading the blog and following along, all of us pitching in and doing what we have to contribute to the project. that's gonna make the difference for all of us.
Yes.
So with that, I have somebody else sitting. You know, we're lined up here in this little tiny office, and then there's the hot seat, and people move into the hot seat when they're ready. So right now we have Tracy sitting in the hot seat, and here she is.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
I'm one of those that, you know, to be honest, I'm one of the ones that needed a couple pounds on my doors to get here. So I can honestly say that I can't say that I'm all here, but I can tell you that there's something that Jen said that just, you know, ignited something in my heart that thought, you know what, I need to sit in the hot seat. And, you know, what has come up for me so strongly is the whole piece about, you know, being here versus, you know, being someone who kind of participates. There's just so many different levels of participation, but that one of the things that's moved me the most about being here was we were at the school in Cantalumba, and we had kind of witnessed the process of, you know, what it actually takes to feed the children that, you know, we're supporting. I think we fed that day like 107 children. And, you know, we kind of were there for the shopping, the, you know, cooking, which is, you know, cooking over charcoal and the feeding, anyway, the whole thing. And we had served peanut butter that day for the first time.
Yeah.
And so there was peanut butter on one side of a piece of bread and some butter on the other. And we were watching the kids eat. And all of us noticed that a lot of the kids were not finishing, or I would say, you know, almost all the kids were not finishing, you know, their whole bun. It was a, you know, kind of a, what we would call like a roll. And we were watching kids put them, you know, in these little plastic containers. And walking outside and watching the kids leave the school, we witnessed, or I should say I witnessed, a little girl walking over to her sister and her sister taking her bag and kind of opening it up and pulling out, you know, what was left from the lunch. And she took, you know, this piece and kind of tore off, and there were probably like six or seven children around her, and she tore off a piece for all of those children. So whatever she took from her sister, she divided, you know, amongst everyone that was around her.
Wow.
And then I watched one of the little girls take her piece that she had received from this other girl and walk over to another group of kids and divide that little piece amongst like another four people.
Wow.
And so the amount that these kids were receiving, you know, by the time that it had been passed twice,
yeah,
you know, was like less than a penny.
Wow.
And I just stood there and, you know, the generosity in which these people, like what their actions are, you know, in terms of, you know, this is what I have, and their willingness to share, you know, yeah, what it is that they do have. It just, it was really, really beautiful to watch. And, you know, that next, I think it was the next day or 2 days afterwards, I felt the same type of generosity when we were, you know, I was one of the folks kind of hanging out in the ditch with a pickaxe and a shovel,
yeah,
for most of the day. And, you know, it was really, really hard work, you know, just kind of shovel full at a time. And what was so incredible is people would just be walking by and, you know, it seemed, you know, it was, there was like a group of people that seemed kind of familiar with what was going on. And then there were some people that were kind of came upon us, like almost a little surprised, like, wow, you know, what's going on here?
Uh-huh.
And they would stop and hold out their hand and they'd want to just participate. So, you know, women would be walking with, like, you know, their babies on their back, and they'd stop and hold out their hand and, you know, take your shovel and get in there and, you know, dig for a while and then hand it to someone else. And
wow,
it was just this incredible, like, wow, you know, there's nothing that we can't do, you know, without it, there's nothing that we can't do when there's willingness.
Yeah.
You know, and just that level of participation, like even if you can only step in the ditch for 3 minutes, you know, just that, like, oh my gosh, you know, we're in this together.
Yeah.
Is really what, you know, has been just probably the strongest experience of me just being here.
Wow. As you're talking, I get a real sense of we in the whole process.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It has felt so much of a we. And even, you know, Sherry was talking last night, you know, the people coming in last night, and, you know, there's not, we wouldn't be able to pull this out without any one of the people that have been participating, you know, all the people back in the States that have given us support, you know, financially and, you know, by showing up for the bridge walks and, you know, yeah. I mean, the whole Sangha.
Yes.
It's really like we're all, it's amazing what, you know, what we all can do. And just the willingness piece that we found from the people here in Andola and especially in Kentulum, because we've really had firsthand experience with that.
Yes. Yes. It's very exciting.
It is very exciting.
Wonderful.
I'm awake now, too. Now I need to start winding down.
Great.
Okay, Michael, I'm going to hand you back to Sherry.
Okay, thank you, Tracy.
So there we are.
There we are. Sherry, we have a caller.
Oh, great. Who do we have?
Let's take a quick break first and take Karen from North Carolina right after the break.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry. Coming up next in our second segment of today's Open Air Show, we'll be continuing our conversation with the Living Compassion team in Africa, and we'll be taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio, live with the Living Compassion team in Africa. Sherry, are you there?
Yes, we're here.
Okay, great. Shall we talk to Karen?
Yes, we'd love to talk to Karen.
All right. Welcome, Karen. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can barely hear you.
Oh, because I can barely hear you all.
Okay. I'm going to speak up.
Okay.
Sherry, can you hear Karen?
I can hear both of you perfectly.
Okay, good. Well, as long as you and Karen can hear each other, that's all we need.
I can hear Sherry very well.
Okay, good.
All
Go
right.
For it.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. I mean, my heart is just bursting with love right now.
You know what?
What?
I feel exactly the same way.
Oh, my goodness. Just sitting there during the break, I was breathing and relaxing and just feeling all the emotions. And I was catching up on the blogs today. I had missed a few days that I hadn't read. And, I mean, just to thank you all so much for getting up in the middle of the night. And,
and our pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just wonderful.
And as you know.
I just love all of the energy that you're putting into keeping in contact with us back here, the amount of effort that it takes to write the blogs and all those beautiful pictures, and it just shares so much of what's going on.
Yeah, it's miraculous to be able to do it. You know, one of the things that we've had fun with about that is being able to show it to people here. For instance, in the meeting that we had yesterday, I asked the young people if they had a sense of what computers would add to their lives, and you know they sort of do, but to watch people kind of process the web is amazing because it's just not a part of their lives. It's nothing they know about. That's not true of everybody here, obviously, because we're online. But for most of the people that we work with, to get it that we are taking these pictures of them, and then 2 days later, they are on a website coming from the United States that people can see and read all over the world. It's just, you know, it's almost kind of a Back to the Future sort of thing, you know, where it's kind of like science fiction. It's oh my gosh, is that really, you know, just the fact that we take pictures that don't exist except inside of a camera and a computer. It's like they'll ask, where are the pictures? Because, you know, you take pictures with a camera and then you get something that you hold in your hand. And so it's just, it's miraculous mm-hmm. that we're able to be in touch with people all over the world in the way that we are.
It is. It is. It feels miraculous mm-hmm. to be on the receiving end of it.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad it feels that way.
I mean, I feel like I live in somewhat of a third world part of the United States, so just to see this blog and to catch up, and of course, I would love to be there so much, and this is almost the next best thing.
Uh-huh.
And then the
uh-huh.
next best thing for me.
Well, and you are one of the people who has done a great deal in that fundraising, that very specific fundraising sort of way to make this this whole thing happen.
Well, that's true. And I was listening to Jen talk earlier about, or maybe it was Tracy, about showing up and willingness. And mm-hmm. for me, that is what is the, when I look at, you know, the joy that I experience in supporting our work there, and those are just the things that I'm looking at and that I experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to project that the things that you do along the way to make this happen bring joy, a regular kind of an ongoing joy into your life. It's not just you complete something and then you send the money in and then you see where the money goes. It's contributing to your life all the time because you're having the fun of doing what you're doing to generate the income and then the fun of knowing what that generosity has brought in terms of, you know, tangible results with children fed and that sort of thing.
Yes, yes, that's just perfectly said. You know, because I part of the ways that I help to generate income for Living Compassion is by making things, and then mm-hmm. so with the pottery raffle, not only do I get to the joy of making something, then I get the joy of having someone participate in that with me, and then they contribute money. And so there's a win-win for both of us in that place.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
And it does continue all the time.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. It just keeps going around and around and around.
It does. It does.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of the
best. Well, we certainly thank you for all you do to make this possible.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
And all right, and we'll look forward to talking to you when we get back.
Okay. Hello to everyone.
All right, thanks.
Good night.
Okay. Thanks, Karen.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, what came to mind as you were talking was the more you give, the more you get.
The more you give, the more you get. It certainly continues to be my experience.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, in a and you know, we talk about inspiration a lot around here, so to be in that meeting yesterday and just to tell you a couple of quick things that we learned, one of the most heartbreaking for me was that you know, this compound is isolated, and of course no one in there owns a car, and so when someone gets sick, they put their loved one in a wheelbarrow, and they wheel that person to the nearest clinic, which is several kilometers away.
Wow.
And what they told us is, in most cases, they get there, and the person is seen, and they're given a prescription, which they have no money to fill.
Wow.
And they put their loved one back in the wheelbarrow, and they wheel them home to die.
Wow.
And to sit in that meeting and to know, you know, we're not saying anything because all of this takes time, and you know, we just don't want to make wild promises because other people like us have come in and made wild promises that
yeah.
were not fulfilled. But to sit there and know in my heart, I am committed to having a medical clinic for these people
yes.
so that they can come there with dignity, and they can receive the care and treatment that they need and that they deserve as much as any other being on this planet.
Yes.
You know, it's just that, to me, that in itself is transformative. That's what transforms my life, because I know that there is something that I can do, and I have the willingness to do it and the commitment to doing it. And that's the thing that causes me every morning to be willing to jump out of bed and do what I can do that day to make those things happen.
Yes, yes. Brings tears to my eyes just listening to you talk about it.
To mine, too.
Yeah.
To mine, too. And you know, I know that place. I know very well that place of, you know, it's just too much. There are just too many starving children. There are too many people who need to, you know, it's just, I can't face it. And so we keep going back to that that starfish story, you know, and, you know, the one. The man's walking
down. And all of our listeners may not know it, so you might want to repeat it.
The guy's walking down the beach, and the tide has come in and stranded all these starfish on the beach, and he's picking them up one by one and throwing them back into the ocean. And somebody comes along and says, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Well, you know, I'm trying to get these starfish back into the sea." And he said, the person says, "Well, that's ridiculous. There are too many of them. How can this make any difference?" And he looks down at the one in his hand, and he says, "It makes a difference for this one." And he tosses it in the sea. And so that's it. You know, we're feeding 107 children. Then I think the next day we were feeding 110 children, and, well, you know, 3,000 children to go. But we can do it, you know, one at a time. And even if we can't save the lives of all of them. Yesterday, the very day that we were there having that conversation, three people died, a 3-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 26-year-old. And we said, "My God, is this normal?" And they said, "There's an average of 5 people a day dying in that compound of causes that don't need to result in death."
Yes.
So, lots to do. And, you know, it's the old training as if your hair is on fire.
Yeah.
We don't want to get crazy and just start racing around, and we don't want to dawdle because there's a lot that we can do every single day. And it's to me, it's what makes life worth living, as our friend Sister Terry says, it's worth giving a life for. And it's not just people that most people are never going to meet. It's not just people in Africa, because it's the same work that we do all the time, everywhere we are. You know, it's the same, and I don't just mean we, little group of people huddled here in this office in the middle of the night in Zambia, or even we, people at the monastery. It's we, all of us, doing whatever we can do, wherever we are, to participate as wholeheartedly as we possibly can to assist in the process of ending suffering wherever we go, whatever we're doing.
Yes.
So,
Hey,
I have somebody else in the hot seat. I have Alex.
Oh, Sherry, I have another
caller
also.
Are we ready for Alex? Huh?
I have another caller also. So I'll talk to Alex.
Okay, well, let's hear from Alex, and then we'll hear from the caller.
Sounds great.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Alex. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you very much for asking.
Oh, great.
I wanted to share something as I was struck by a couple things from our last show that we had last Tuesday. And the first thing that struck me was when one of the retreatants had said that they were really overwhelmed by their first visit out to the compound that we're working in Cantalomba.
Yes.
And being struck by the amount of the need and the you know, just being engulfed from head to toe in all these children who are hungry and have all these needs, and that if she hadn't gone back the following few days, that it would have just been that experience, that it would have been completely overwhelming.
Yes.
And being here now for 3 weeks, we still are celebrities. As we come out of the car, there's still cheering children and cheering women and cheering men. And we sometimes fall in that celebrity category when they start calling your name out loud several times over and over. But it's just amazing how they are so clearly people who, I don't know, they're like our friends now. You know, I'm just reminded of that George Carlin quote about peace. You know, like what he says is that people should be required to meet everybody on the planet and face them and shake their hand and introduce themselves.
Yes.
'Cause how could they fight each other if they know each other?
Yes, exactly.
And I'm struck with that same thing, being here and the invaluable nature of being here and meeting these people and interacting with them. And because, you know, I think, I don't know, this is just what I've heard, that, you know, there's ideas about, well, why do we send people over to Africa to do this work? Why can't I just send my money? And that money could go toward helping people out there rather than, you know, the expense of having someone fly over and be there in person. And what I'm struck with is that we get the on the ground kind of work that we're doing and meeting people and that kind of connection between all these government officials and the people on the street and having them link up and meet, you know. So we meet a person on the street, a young boy who's in the 10th grade, and he's looking for work, and we just happen to have a silk screener who we are talking with, who is saying that I need an assistant. And so there we go. You know, we know these two people, and we link them together, and now they can get together and make something happen. And I think that is the enormous benefit of actually being here on the ground, talking to people, making things happen in a way that just, you know, can't, you know, all the time, because there's just not that kind of network. There's just not that kind of system in place for making
yes.
things like that happen.
Yes.
And so I just want to put a plug in for, you know, just the full participation in no matter what it is that you do, you know. And I'm actually wanted to express deep gratitude for all the people who are making that happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's interconnected completely. You know, there's the people who donate the money. There's the people who go out and actually use that money very consciously and with deep integrity to make sure that the most amount of people benefit from that. And there's just a real commitment to honor both the people who are on the who are receiving this and the people who are giving it.
Yes. Yes. Wow. And Alex, I get a sense from the blogs also of that deep sense of interconnectedness.
Yeah.
Of all of us
yeah.
who are
we're
involved
here. Yeah, we're all, everybody has the opportunity to participate in that way, where they can see that this is what we're doing, that this is how they can assist.
Fabulous.
Fabulous. Excellent.
Thanks for talking with me this morning, Alex.
Oh, no problem. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it. All right, and now we have a caller.
We have a caller.
Good. Who do we have?
We have Cindy from California. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi there.
Hi, Cindy.
Hello.
Hi there.
I am calling to participate.
Good. this is sort of an immediate how I can participate, huh?
Yes. I last week I listened to the show and I've been reading the blogs and it's incredibly inspirational. And I thank you for being over there and doing all the work that you're doing. And as the previous one of the the previous caller said, for putting so much effort into keeping us all up to date with what's going on, because it really is. I really do have a sense of almost not quite being there, but almost being there. And I appreciate that, all that effort that's being put out there.
Good. Good. I'm glad. I'm glad it's working because, of course, we don't know. You know, we send it often, and who knows? We've said often here that it starts becoming a blur, and we'll be writing something and we'll say, did we already tell them that?
Yeah.
And we can't remember. Did we send that picture? So I'm glad it's working. I'm glad it's working on that end.
The other thing, it's funny that you said earlier that it's miraculous because today or yesterday, I was thinking the idea that things can be sent, that this could be possible, that you could be there and keeping us up to date and I could be feeling these feelings and feeling connected to the kids, it is a miracle. And I thought such a funny word, a miracle, because it's used in so many different contexts. But it is extraordinary that we can make this possible.
And so I hear myself say about 10 times every day, it's a great time to be alive.
Right.
And that's mostly what I'm talking about, is that so much of what we're doing just couldn't happen. Literally what we're doing now couldn't have happened 3 years ago.
Right.
And we're very, very, very fortunate.
The other thing that...
And
I was going to say, the other thing that's been happening this past week between last week's show and today is that, of course, with sort of intending to do it and almost not being able to prevent myself from doing it, I've been extremely conscious every time I eat, every time I take a shower, of all the amenities that I have available to me. And each time I feel tremendously grateful, and I generally feel like that, but it's been very heightened this week because I know you're there, mm-hmm. and I realize that all the description of the people that you are now your friends, of the physical conditions under which they live, and let their social and emotional condition is so rich, and for the physical conditions that I have that are more comfortable, I have been tremendously grateful. Thank you for inspiring me to and reminding me to be like that this week.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. And we share that. And I know that when I come home for the first whatever period of time, I will be acutely aware of turning on a tap and having hot water or being able to brush my teeth and not worry that I'm going to get some sort of disease from the water that I'm brushing my teeth with, being able to have choices about buying things, all of those kinds of privileges that we just lose sight of. And I know as time goes on, I'll forget and then I'll start complaining because the store doesn't have the color, whatever it is that I want. And then I know it'll be time to come back here and get a reality check so that, I'm sitting in traffic just intensely grateful that I have a car, that it has gas in it, that I can go where I want to go, that, all of those things is just so easy for us to... just kind of ignore, to write off because we take them for granted at such an automatic level.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow, I just thought I wanted to call in again to say thank you and to send my heartfelt regards to all the people in the Cantalomba project and the people that you're meeting in Adola. And it's incredible to know that there's this connection with these people, with people across the world. And
Well, when we go there tomorrow for our last visit and we do our, 100, 200, 300, hi, how are you? I am fine. We will include your your love and greetings to them at the same time.
Right. We are real people back here, and we really care about them. And
And I think they're getting a very strong sense of that.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks. Thanks
All right.
for
Thank
up
you.
In the middle of the night.
Look forward to seeing you when we get back.
Okay. Take care.
All right.
Okay. Bye.
You too. Bye bye.
Joining us, Cindy, you're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we can go until the top of the hour here.
Good. Well, I have one more person in the hot seat.
Sounds great.
Are you ready for Dave?
I'm ready for Dave.
Here he is.
Hey, Michael, how's it going?
Hi, Dave. Great. How are you?
Good. Hey, I wanted to tell you a little story about something that happened yesterday. This has been my pet project since we've been here, is trying to get some water to the school. It's about a 200-meter carry from, like, the nearest spigot to the schoolhouse. And, when we got there yesterday, there's been so much that's gone into that. There's been, Tracy talked earlier about, the women with the babies on their backs digging the trenches to get the water there. There's been all the negotiations that have happened, all the conversations, and one of my favorite things that's happened since I've been here is I spent a couple hours a couple days ago with a middle-aged Zambian guy who happened to know something about some plumbing in this chaotic African market, trying to find the fittings we needed to make the whole thing happen. And then, there's just been so much between us and between African people to make it happen. And we got there yesterday, and there's a pipe sticking out of the ground at the school, and there's water coming out of the pipe.
Wow.
And it was just what I was thinking of as people were talking is it's such an act of peace that had happened.
Huh.
There's been so much war and so much violence and hatred that's happened here to cause the people to be in the situation they're in. And then for us to be here doing this act of peace, it's just so amazing. And I did a little little victory walk along the 200 meters. I've walked up and down that 200 meters any number of times over the past couple of weeks. And on the way back, we were being followed by, probably 200 children. And I stuck my right hand out, and about three children grabbed it, and I stuck my left hand out, and about three children grabbed it, and we just walked hand in hand back along that path.
Wow.
It's just such a beautiful expression of kind of what's behind the work that we're doing here.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I wanted to share, too, people have been talking about, the peace, this act of peace is across the board. It's what we're doing here. It's also the people who are donating the money at home. And we did a little breakdown and wanted to give a sense. We're trying to raise $100,000 this year at the Bridge Walk. And Jen mentioned a little while ago about a way that we can do that, if the listeners kind of spread the word, it becomes possible. And we have a little breakdown of what that $100,000 would do that I wanted to share with you.
Oh, great.
A couple things. What's that?
That's great.
Yeah, a couple things. The people in Cantalama desperately need water to drink that is pure. And so, we could drill what they call a borehole. We talked about that last week. I think it's just what we would call well at Cantalomba. That would cost about $15,000. We also talked about putting a borehole in around Masala so that the children in Masala and probably, the larger community also could have water there. So that would be another $15,000. It could cost $1,000 a month to feed the children at Cantalomba. So that's another $12,000there. It costs about $920 a month to keep the house going, the children that we're raising here, the orphans that we're raising here in Dola.
Yeah.
And then you add the salaries of the people here who are, you know, kind of on the ground doing the work, and that comes out to be about $75,000. And then the last $25,000, we've got a scheme. There's a house. That's a larger house. There's a building, and it's got two houses attached to it that could potentially become the medical clinic. And if we take what's remaining of that $100,000, then we have our medical clinic. So it's just sort of a whole huge impact that $100,000 could do. And then anything that we raise during the year, you know, could go to continue to expand the projects. So just to kind of give a sense of the incredible difference that kind of money could make for the people here in Indola.
Wow. Wow. And it sounds like with those ideas you've just given, you're tackling a lot of the health issues on several levels.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Especially with the water and
fundamental
because the medical clinic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without water to drink, without medical care and those sorts of things, then, you know, it's sort of like those things provide the framework for, you know, the education and the possibilities opening up for people in their lives, so they can actually have lives that are full of possibility and excitement and joy, rather than just enduring one day to another and trying to survive in a situation that's just so terribly difficult.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, it sounds fabulous.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. It's really exciting. It's really for me personally, it's just so empowering to be a part of it, and just to see, you know, see the difference that that the willingness to make a difference can make.
Yeah, that Tracy was talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
So I think we're about out of time. So I want to pass you back to Sherry, give her a chance to talk a little more before we finish.
Great. Thank you, Dave.
Okay. Thanks, Michael.
Yep. Good night.
Well, Michael, we're not going to be able to meet you again in the middle of the night next week.
No. We'll be back to the regular time for you, I hope.
As we like to say, good Lord willing, the creek don't rise.
Yes.
It'll be at 5 o'clock California time when I talk to you next time.
Yes. Wonderful.
Thanks for being there and making this happen for us.
And my pleasure, Sherry. Thank you.
And thanks for the folks who called in and the ones who are listening and wishing us well. And we're doing this work for everybody.
Yes, yes.
All right.
Thank you, Sherry. Good night.
Thank you. Talk to you soon, Michael.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.